ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 16 टेक्स्ट नंबर 5। या काश्च भूमो दिवि वै रसायां विभूतयो दिक्षु महाविभूते ता मह्यम् आख्याय अनुभावितास्ते नामानि ते तीर्थ पदांघ्री पद्मम्। या काश्च भूमो दिवि वै रसायां विभूतयो दिक्षु महाविभूते तामय्यमाख्याय अनुभावितास्ते नामानि ते तीर्थपदाङ्घ्रिपद्मम्। या काश्च भूमो दिवि वै रसायां विभूतयो दिक्षु महाविभूते तामय्यमाख्याय अनुभावितास्ते नामानि ते तीर्थपदाङ्घ्रिपद्मम्। या काश्च भूमो दिवि वै रसायां विभूतयो दिक्षु महाविभूते तामय्यमाख्याय अनुभावितास्ते नामानि ते तीर्थपदाङ्घ्रिपद्मम्। दिवे रसायां विभूतये दिक्षु महाविभूते
भूमो दिवि वै रसायां
Yaka, whatever, cha, also, bhumau, on the earth, divi, in heaven, vai, indeed, rasayam, in hell, vibhutaya, potencies, dikshu, in all directions, महाविभूते ओ सुप्रीमली पोटेंट ता दोज मह्यम अंटू मी आख्या ही प्लीज एक्सप्लेन अनुभाविता manifested. Te by you. Namami, I offer my humble obeisances. Te, your Tirthapad, the abode of all holy places. Angripadmam, at the lotus feet. Translation. O supremely potent Lord, please explain to me your innumerable potencies, which you manifest on the earth, in heaven, in hell, and indeed in all directions. I offer my humble obeisances at your lotus feet, which are the shelter of all holy places. Purport. Uddhava here inquires about the Lord's material and spiritual potencies as manifested within our universe. Just as ordinary animals or insects living in human cities cannot appreciate the scientific, cultural or military achievements of man, similarly, foolish materialists cannot appreciate the mighty opulences of the personality of Godhead, even those manifested within our universe. For the appreciation of ordinary human beings, Uddhava requests the Lord to reveal exactly how and in what forms He expands His potencies. As already explained, the Lord is the essential ingredient of all that exists, and thus any mighty or opulent manifestation must ultimately rest on the Lord Himself. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamsha Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashratya Deshatarine Vanchakalpatarubhyasya Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Vrishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Yakash Bhumo Divave Rasayam Vibhutayo Dikshu Mahavibhute Tamayam Akhyaya Anubhavitaste Namanite Tirtha Padangri Padmam. O Supremely Potent Lord, please explain to me your innumerable potencies which you manifest on the earth, in heaven, in hell, and indeed in all directions. I offer my humble obeisances at your lotus feet, which are the shelter of all holy places. So, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 16, Text Number 5. The chapter is entitled The Lord's Opulence. Uddhava begins this chapter by asking Krishna's how many different forms Krishna is worshipped and how the sages by worshipping Krishna or different personality by worshipping Krishna achieves perfection. So worship is a need, basic need of living entity. Just like we have the need of food, water, air. Similarly, the worship is innate need of every living entity. And everyone is in this world is worshipping something or other of this world. What do we mean worship? Worship doesn't only mean that we worship by lamp, incense or the typical worship we have in temple. The principle of worship is behind worship, the principle behind worship is giving our time and attention with the element of respect, that is worship. So even that time, attention with the respect, we direct towards any entity of this world, that is also worship. Few people are attracted towards the super almighty Lord or form or aspect of the personality of Godhead, and few people in this world worship the other living entities who are more powerful than them. And why do people worship? People worship, the reason behind worshipping is to basically to get something in return. Maximum worship falls into that category. Or it is just an admiration that I don't have the abilities or the qualities which this other person is having. So let me worship that by worshipping those, at least with the desire I will get something of those abilities or qualities, or even if I don't get, I will enjoy through that person's ability and quality. So that is the basic understanding or underlying thought process while worshipping. But here Uddhava is asking a not that kind of worship. He wants to understand the opulences of the Lord so that we'll able to understand Him. Vibhuti, that's what the Sanskrit word is used for opulence. One of the word used for opulence. Aishwarya is also English, they call opulence. But vibhuti is something where it's not just an opulence, it's Krishna's manifestation in all aspects. Everywhere, that's vibhuti. There is a nice pastime in Krishna Lila that Krishna, after this Agasur was killed, and when Krishna killed Agasur, all these demigods were watching the whole action. Krishna didn't do much while killing Agasur, but they were watching the whole incidents. How Krishna killed the Agasur, and it's wonderful feats which Krishna did by killing Agasur. So hearing that Agasur is dead, the demigods were very happy. Before that, Krishna's mother Yashoda, she was little apprehensive. And she called all these elderly gopas of Nanda village, and she started speaking that Krishna few days back rescued from Vritrasur. Vasasur just came and by good deeds of ours, Krishna was saved. Then Bakasur's beak, he tried to swallow Krishna, but Krishna came alive. So she was worried that with the tears she started speaking, how shall I do now? Where will you go? How will you be happy? Because moment after moment, so many calamities are falling on my son. And first we were in Mahavan. There demons were attacking. So we shifted to Vrindavan. Now, if we leave Vrindavan, which country should we go? Because my son is always having difficulties. He's always having calamities. So please tell me, where should I go? So then when he plays, this my restless boy, he goes far away. And all these boys are restless. I am not the only one who says it. But other mothers are also feeling the same worry about their children. So Nanda Maharaj, in order to confront her, he tells her, don't you remember what Garga Muni told to us, that this is very special child? And he started explaining the glories of Krishna, which Garga Muni had extolled. And in order to pacify her, he said, he also mentioned that the calamities will come, but we can save our child from the calamities by giving a charity. So immediately arrange for giving a charity. And there, both of them distributed a lot of charities in order to invoke the auspicious blessings for Krishna's protection. So this was her worry. And then Krishna killed Agasur. So after killing of Agasur, Krishna that day said, why don't we go and have a lunch at the bank of Yamuna? Let's go there. So all the cowherd boys, they comes to the river bank of Yamuna, and Krishna says, see how beautiful sand is. This sand is flooded with the pollens from the lotus which are blooming inside the water of Yamuna. And the fragrant breeze which is coming from that lotuses is making the atmosphere more beautiful. There are hummingbees. And already 3 hours has passed since we have left the home, and now it's time for the lunch. So let's have our lunch here. So this place is very good for the lunch, and our calves can drink the water from Yamuna, and the nearby is a nice green lushy grass is there, and they can take their lunch also there, and we will have our lunch here. So all the boys immediately said, okay, so be it, let's settle down here. But some boys had not brought the lunch. So they came near Krishna and whispered in his ear that, Krishna, we have not got our lunch box. Because what we thought, that we, by grazing the cows, will not come so far. We'll be just nearby the village, and when lunch time will happen, we'll go back home, have our lunch and come back. So when they told Krishna that they don't have a lunch box, Krishna said, don't worry, I will make an arrangement for you. So hearing Krishna said like that, that don't lament about this, they sat down. So Krishna said, just follow my words. Everybody followed Krishna's word and assembled around him. So they all, Krishna sat in the center, they all encircled him in different circles. And the circles were formed. And after forming a circle, Krishna said, okay, let's have lunch trays. And there was varieties of lunch trays. Somebody made lunch trays out of flowers. Somebody made lunch trays out of grass. Somebody made lunch tray out of twigs. Somebody made out of leaves. Somebody made out of fruit. Somebody made out of rocks. Somebody made out of rope. Somebody had their own hands. So even lunch tray was also variety. It's not that everybody had same steel plates or same katori. No, everybody had varieties of... So spiritual world is filled with variegatedness. It's not that same thing everywhere, same place, and I will see it. Not same menu, everybody has same menu. No, they have varieties of it. So, after them having the lunch plate, they started opening their lunch boxes and started eating. Suddenly, one boy got inspiration. He took the morsel from his lunch box and gave it to Krishna. Fed with his own hand to Krishna. Krishna ate it. And after eating it, Krishna glanced at his friends and he said, I don't know of anything more delicious than this I have eaten. So boy who gave it to Krishna got so excited, he said, is it? Immediately he took it and started distributing to other boys. Giving it to. And everybody in unanimism exclaimed the same thing what Krishna said. Wow, what a wonderful this morsel or whatever atom he was having. So the problem of those people who have not got the lunch box, that is also solved because they are also getting the morsels from this boy. So Krishna reciprocates. This is the best and unique quality of Krishna. Even a small morsel which was given by this boy, Krishna extolled the glory of it and he reciprocated it. That's the hope for us when we worship Krishna. In this world, it's not easy to get a reciprocation, especially positive reciprocation from the people whom we are serving of. But in Krishna's grace, Krishna does it not just a formality. We many times do a reciprocation as a formality. But he really does it out of genuine desire to please the person who is trying to serve him. So then they started joking, laughing, and the boys were eating. And suddenly Subal, he gave one morsel to Krishna. Krishna tasted the morsel and laughed. All the boys he gave, they also tasted and laughed. And one boy immediately said, "O son of Nanda, O Krishna, this Subal's bewildering grandmother," he uses Matamaha. Matamaha means mother's mother. "She doesn't know how to cook. This is not delicious." And when he said that, everybody started laughing. And then Subal was like, his face was little bit morose. "What is this? This boy is saying." And immediately Sridhama got up and he took the morsel and gave it to Krishna. And when boys and Krishna ate that the morsel given by Sridhama, they said, "This is the best." So if you see, even on the spiritual platform also, there is a competitive spirit. Kiska best hai, kiska ye. There is a competitive spirit in spiritual platform also. But the difference is, the competitive spirit of this world and the competitive spirit in spiritual world, this competitive spirit cannot be suppressed in the spiritual world also. It manifests. But the difference is, there is no, in the competitiveness, there is no envy, disappointment or cheating. In this world, in competitive spirit, these three things happen: envy, disappointment or cheating. But in spiritual world, there is the absence of these three things. That's why that competitiveness is very pleasing also to the person who got even supposedly he got morose or disappointed. For that person also it's pleasing. So like this, they were laughing and making everyone laugh, enjoy their lunch. They were able to enjoy their lunch. In today's scenario, we are not even able to enjoy what we are eating. In Mahabharata, Yaksha asked this question to Yudhishthira Maharaj, "Who is happy in this world?" And he said, three criteria to check whether a person is happy or not. He said, one who doesn't have debts, runa, one who doesn't have debts. Second, one who is not in foreign land. And third, one who gets to eat the food cooked in his own house. These three people are happy. If you see today's culture, working culture, debts, almost everybody has. Whatever may be the reason, to save the tax or whatever, but debts. Foreign land doesn't mean only foreign country. Where we are born, we are shifted from that place, that is foreign land. And third, how many of you get the... He says, Yudhishthira Maharaj, even after 4 or 5 days also, if you get the food cooked in your own house, you get a chance to eat that, you are sukhi. You are a happy person. So, the boys were enjoying the food which was cooked by their mother with a love. And Krishna was having fun with them, laughing them, eating them, and everybody was eating. Suddenly, one boy noticed that cows are calves which they were got for herding, they are not nearby. So immediately they brought it to notice to Krishna that, hey, cows are missing. So they were few of them were about to get up and search for them. Krishna said, wait. "You don't worry, I will go and search for it." And now Krishna, the explanation is given, the description is given, how beautiful Krishna was looking there. In his left hand, he was having morsel of food. On the fingers, he was having fruit pieces. having yellow cloth, flower garland, anklets, the flute tucked to his waist on the waistcloth. You are joking, laughing in the midst of the gopas. And this was all watched when they were having the food and laughing and joking. This was all watched by the denizens of heavenly planets. They were gazing it. And they were thinking, how could the personality of Godhead, who eats only in yajna, is now eating from the plates of his friends? So they were having doubt. And what happened? These cows, because of more greed for the grasses, they went far, far, far away deep in the forest. And seeing these cows are not nearby, they were frightened. So Krishna said, don't worry, I will bring them back. Why? Because Krishna didn't want to inconvenience the enjoyment of the boys, the friends. So he volunteered. So here Krishna volunteered to go. So Krishna stood up with that left hand food, with the fruit pieces. And he started going in the direction searching for the calves in the forest. Brahma, who had already witnessed the pastime of Agasur killing, and also the Krishna enjoying the lunch, in his mind, Brahma is thinking, this must be a gopa. He cannot be Lord Hari, the personality of Godhead. Because why would Lord Hari enjoy the wretched food with the gopas of Vraja? After this, he started thinking, should I taste, should I not taste, should I taste, should I not taste, whether he's really Hari. So he stole the calves. Krishna goes, searches for them. And Brahma reasoned also. Brahmaji didn't took this step abruptly. He reasoned. He said, if Krishna is indeed God, he will do something to counteract my prank or mischief. And if he is not God, then as an ordinary boy, he will be simply confused. So he took the calves. And Krishna couldn't find those calves. Krishna came back and he found that his friends, boys, are also missing. So Brahma stole both of them. Not seeing the calf and returning on river bank and not seeing the boys also, Krishna searched both of them in the forest. Not that Krishna gave up. He again started searching both. And then he concluded, this must be the work of Brahma. So even though Krishna is omniscient, he knows everything, still he tried to search out first and then use the logic and reasoning to come to the conclusion who is the culprit. In our case, many times we conveniently jump to the conclusion without using logic, reasoning or trying before. So Krishna tried it before coming to conclusion. Now we can imagine what is going on in Krishna's mind. Krishna is thinking, if I return home without the boys and calves, what will happen? Few months back, there was an incident. One college in Maharashtra, the staff, the college teacher and staff, they went for picnic in a bus. 35 to 40 people went. And suddenly, when the bus was going through a ghat section, the bus plunged into the valley. All of them died except one. One managed to come out and remain alive, somehow or other. And the whole college, because the bus was carrying the professors, staffs of that whole college, and the whole college as well as the relatives of those who died were very much in pain. They were very, very, very much in agony. And then the police, on whom they should file a charge sheet, who is the culprit. After many months, they filed a charge sheet on the bus driver who just died. But the survivor, the relatives of those people who got killed, they said, find the charge sheet on the person who remained alive. because he somehow managed to escape without saving our kins. You can imagine, first of all, that fellow had survived somehow or other that trauma, everybody gone. Another trauma, they are blaming him that you are responsible for the death of others. So now Krishna, if he returns home alone, in the morning, boys and cows were taken, they went along with Krishna, now Krishna is returning alone. Can you imagine what must be the state of the residents of Vrindavan? That alone agaya, where are others? So Krishna is in dilemma that what will happen? He started thinking, if I go alone, the parents will be panicky. They will become crazy with the loss of their children. And not finding the children, they will start searching the children in the night in the forest. If you don't find in the night, next day also they will keep on searching. And like this, there will be no peace of mind for them. So Krishna didn't want his dear devotee to be plunged into such calamity. And especially because they have already faced so many upheavals in Vrindavan. Constant calamities or something was coming. So Krishna didn't want it. So even Krishna was in dilemma what to do. Dharma Sankat. God also, many times we think that I take up to devotional service, there should not be a dilemma in my life or dualities in my life. No, the nature of this world is that he also has to sometimes think what to do now, what to do. So Krishna thought for a moment, and then to please the cows and those mothers of the children, gopis, Krishna, who is the creator of this whole universe, he manifested himself into cows and boys. That is Krishna's opulence, vibhuti. He manifested. And whatever, not just manifesting, whatever their forms, their hands, their feet, their other parts, their sticks, their horns, their flutes, their other possessions, the lunch boxes which they carried, everything Krishna has to manifest himself into. Their character, their clothes, their ornaments, their qualities, their other features, everything Krishna perfectly copied. As it is. So not just boys he manifested, but he has to manifest into this other things also, the paraphernalia which they have got. So then, as sun was setting, Krishna herding with his cows, who is himself, along with boyfriends, who is also himself, entered into Vrindavan. When Krishna entered that day into Vrindavan and came home, and the boys started started playing on the flute, the mothers of those boys, suddenly the surge of love erupted in their heart, and they came forth running to see the boy, every mother. And they were so happy by seeing it, they embraced. Now these boys are quite grown up. They embraced them and spontaneously milk started flowing from their breasts. They were so happy. They couldn't fathom what is the reason, but that's what's happening. And when calves enter the shelter, the cows, now these are grown-up calves, the cows immediately ran towards those calves, started licking them as if they are just newly born. Cow usually licks the calves when the calf is newly born. And milk started flowing, and they were giving those udders into the mouth of those calves in order for them to drink the milk. So this was happening, this went on for many months. There were 5 days remaining for the year to get over. And then 5 nights were remaining to complete that 1 year. That time Balramji came to know about this. So it happened when they went to graze the cows in Vrindavan, Govardhan. Suddenly cows were grazing on the top, the cows and Krishna's boyfriend on the bottom. The cows started running from Govardhan towards where these calves were. And they were running full speed. And when they came to the place where calves were there, they started licking them and giving them milk. And the cowherd men who were taking care of those cows were so angry, not on the cows, but on the children. Why? Because why children would have brought the calves near to their mother's cows? So they came running down in order to chastise their sons. But when they came and they saw their son, immediately the love started filling in their heart and they started embracing and caressing the sons. So when Balramji saw this unusual sight, because cows were quite grown up, and how could calf, they are drinking the milk, and boys, when the fathers of those boys were coming down, they were angry, how suddenly there is a change in their demeanor. So Balramji was little bit confused, what is happening? So then he, in order to understand that, he closed his eyes and started meditating to find out what is the reason. And he knows past, present and future. So he went to the past and then he understood what is happening. As Balramji was asking Krishna what happened, Krishna told how Brahmaji has stolen it and what I did. That time Brahma arrived just to check out what's happening. And he went for a moment, and when he came, he was thinking that Krishna might have now got confused, or let me check out the result of my prank. When he came, he found exactly the calves and boys are there and Krishna is playing with them. So he thought Krishna might have gone there and brought it back. So Brahmaji went to the place where he had hid them. And in Vrindavan, in local Katha, they say that Brahmaji went back and forth to find out which is original. Ye sahiye ya wo sahiye? Ye sahiye, wo sahiye? So the place where he hid the boys, the village came to know as Sei, which is Sei, which is original. So Brahmaji went back and forth and he couldn't fathom what is it, which is original one, or Krishna has created duplicate one. So then Brahmaji didn't understood it. And Brahmaji got so bewildered, Garga Samhita explains that Brahmaji, who is having four brains, the creator of the universe, secondary creator of the universe, he got so bewildered, he could not even see his own form. He got so bewildered. So he got confused, he cannot see his own body, and then Krishna saw the situation of Brahma, then Krishna revealed. When Krishna lifted the curtain, Brahmaji saw the opulence of Krishna. Each and everything was manifested by the internal potency of Krishna. He saw the entire universe with himself also. Many potencies of Lord Vishnu, many demigods offering prayer to Lord Vishnu. And that's how Brahmaji was completely humbled. And there Brahmaji offers a prayer, Janatu eva janatu, that there are people who say that I know everything about Krishna. Let them think that way. As far as I am concerned, I do not wish to speak very much about this matter. Oh my Lord, let me say this much only. As far as your opulences are concerned, they are all beyond the reach of my body, mind and words. So Krishna's opulences, even Brahmaji is saying, I cannot fathom it. I cannot understand it. They are beyond my reach. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Lord Chaitanya was instructing to Sanatana Goswami, he, about the opulences of Krishna, he was mentioning about this pastime. That how Krishna's opulences are not able to comprehend by any living entity in this world. They are unlimited. He gives an example that Ananta Shesh also with his thousand mouths for many, many, many lifetime also, even he tried to speak about those opulences, still he will not come to an end. So there, Lord Chaitanya says, Chik Shakti Vibhuti Dhamma Tripada Ashraya Nama Maika Vibhuti Eka Pada Abhidhana. That spiritual world, Chik Shakti, is a Tripada Ashraya Nama. It is a, Krishna's opulence is 3/4 spiritual world. And this material world, Maika Vibhuti Ekapada, it is just 1/4 of Krishna's opulence. Spiritual is 3/4 and 1/4 is this world. अनंत ब्रह्मांडेर यत ब्रह्म रुद्रगण चिरलोकपाल शब्दे तहार गणन. एक्चुअली ही सेज इट्स व्हेरी डिफिकल्ट टू एसर्टन द नंबर ऑफ युनिवर्सेस. दैट इज कृष्णदास पुलंत. एंड एवरी युनिवर्स हैज इट्स ओन सेपरेट लॉर्ड ब्रह्मा, सेपरेट लॉर्ड शिवा, हु आर नोन एज अ परमनंट गवर्नर्स, एंड देयर फोर देर इज ऑल्सो नो काउंटिंग ऑफ देम. And to support his point, Lord Chaitanya tells one story to Sanatana Goswami, how we cannot understand or fathom Krishna's opulence. So he says, one day, Krishna, when he was ruling in Dwarka, Lord Brahma came to see him. And this Brahma told Dorman that I want an appointment with Krishna. Dorman said, okay, wait, I will go and ask him. So Dorman comes back and he asks Brahmaji, Krishna is asking which Brahma? So Brahma was like, what is this question? But he said, okay, tell the four-headed Brahma, the father of Sanak Sanatan. That's the identity of Brahma. So he goes back and tells Krishna, the four-headed father of Sanak Sanatan. Krishna said, okay, send him in. So he comes in. When he comes in, Krishna properly gives him seat, speaks nice word, and then asks him, what is the reason for your arrival? So, Brahma said, I have something to discuss with you, but let me keep that aside. There's one doubt in my mind, I want to clarify that first. He said, what is that? Why did you ask this question, which Brahma? Do you mean there are many Brahmas? So, Krishna just smiled. And Krishna closed his eyes, meditated, and suddenly, that courtroom was filled with Brahma. And Lord Chaitanya gives a description. Brahmas, different Brahmas, according to how many heads they were having. Somebody is having 8, 16, 10, 15, 100, 200, 1000, millions. Not only Brahma, Lord Shiva also came. And that Shiva was also according to the number of heads. Not only that, Indra also came. And they all were offering prayers to Krishna. And this small Brahma, he was very dwarf in front of them, their size. He was very small. It's like a rabbit, Chaitanya Charitamrita mentioned. He was looking like a rabbit among the lions. And they were offering prayers. This Brahmaji was bewildered. And Lord Chaitanya says, number of heads was because the number of heads was proportionate to the size of the universe which they were handling. So different heads, different Brahmas, and all were like very huge. And they offered prayer and Krishna, they asked them, any service for us? And you know what Krishna said? Why did you call us, any service for us? Krishna said, no, I just remember you, that's why I called you. So then Krishna said, everything is okay in your universe, no demons are troubling you. No, by your mercy, everything is okay. And each Brahma, Lord Chaitanya says, was thinking that Krishna has appeared in their own universe only. That's another opulence of Krishna, that's another vibhuti of Krishna. Even though Krishna was in this universe, they thought that because Krishna's presence, Krishna has appeared in our universe, no trouble from the demons is existing. So then they offered obeisances, and when they offered obeisances, the crowns on their head shattered and made a sound, and every Brahma was offering obeisance to Krishna's lotus feet. So the whole sound of that crowns touching each other, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami writes, it was like a kirtan. And the beauty of it is that no other Brahma was able to see other Brahma. Every Brahma thought that I am the only alone having audience with Krishna. Other Brahmas, only our this Brahma was able to see all Brahmas. Krishna gave special vision because he wanted to teach him. So other Brahmas were just thinking that I am only with Krishna, and they were not seeing any other Brahma. When they offered verses, then Krishna says, okay, now everything is over, you can go back. They goes back. And then this Brahma of our universe, he understood that, oh, I am just insignificant Brahma of Krishna's creation. So that is Krishna's opulence. And Lord Chaitanya says, no, into that Sanatana Goswami section, he said, we cannot understand the opulence of Krishna. That is just a material universe. I am just talking in that to one. And this is just 1/4 of Krishna's opulence or creation. What to speak of 3/4? And that's why in the 10th chapter, when Krishna explains all the different opulences of his in among demigods, who is he, among the body of waters, who is he, among the immovable, who is he, at the end Krishna has to conclude it by saying, yat yat vibhuti matsatvam, shrimatam urjitam eva, tat tat eva vagachatvam, mama tejo amsha sambham. Know that all opulent, beautiful, glorious creation springs but a spark of my splendor. So whatever is there in this world which is extraordinary, actually it is just a spark of Krishna's splendor. That is Krishna's opulence. And Uddhav here is asking Krishna, can you just enumerate something? So Krishna is from next verse onwards, 6th verse onwards, Krishna is explaining those opulences. Why? Because we don't have the vision to see Krishna in his form, at least we can see the opulences of our understand Krishna's potency by seeing the opulences which are manifested in this world. That's why Krishna explains his vibhuti. For those people who are advanced, they can see Krishna's presence everywhere. But for those who are not so advanced like us, Krishna has to tell, okay, this is this, this, among this, I am this, among this, I am this. So at least by seeing that object or that particular quality, we can remember Krishna or connect that quality to Krishna. That's how we can worship Krishna. So beginning of chapter, he says that how, in what different format, in 3rd verse, he's asking what different forms we can worship you. And this 5th, he's saying, okay, in short, in other words, please tell us your different opulences. So next verse onward, he will start speaking about the opulences which Krishna manifests in different forms in this material world. And Uddhava will also, by hearing those opulences, will understand that what are different potencies of Krishna. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Krantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Tai Gaur Premanande.